the second session, we're continuing with this place of what is evangelism and how should we share the gospel, which is good news. Remember, it's good news. So every time we share it, it's good news to the one who is hearing and who's listening. You know, it's fresh off the press. It's not old news. It's not yesterday's news. It becomes news, good news, the moment when you and I share it. The challenge is just, how do we share it in context? And how do we share it in a place where it's not a cultural Christianity? It's not a feel-good Christianity. But there's true repentance, because repentance should bring people to a change of mind, a change of action, and a change of direction. I've been walking in this road, and now because I've met Christ, my life has changed. I'm following him, you know, and then starts the process of discipleship, is the process of becoming fishers of men. Remember, that's what Jesus said. He says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So from the word go, when somebody connects with Christ, when they become born again, they become a new creation. But the process of discipleship is to lead somebody to become a disciple maker. From the word go, what have you received? What's the fish and bread in your hands? And how can I share it with others? The moment when there's multiplication, when there's growth, when there's hunger, that's when we become true Christians. The second session, we take a bit of a different angle, because there's this whole concept of suffering. You know, one of the scriptures that Jesus is sort of really explains to me what he learned through suffering was he learned obedience. And so a lot of Christians, I think we are shame-based, we are fear-based in our sharing with others. But remember, we are co-laborers with Christ. We're not doing things for God. We are doing things with God. That's why we're doing it with the Holy Spirit. We can't minister, we can't pray for people, we can't live the gospel unless we do it with God. And he said, hey, I'll put words in your mouth. And yes, there are many tools, there are many skills we can acquire, apologetics, learning, you know, to look at the different crowds we minister to, because you need to take the gospel into somebody's life. But suffering is like, yo, it's not something we like to talk about, but part of this gospel and the cost of discipleship is that we deny ourselves. You know, in John 12, 24, it says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it cannot produce fruit. So some things must die. You know, sometimes we have too much of an opinion, because have you ever heard a dead corpse speaking? Well, a corpse is always dead, but have you heard somebody that's dead speaking? No, a dead person doesn't have an opinion. And so when we die to Christ, we actually live. You know, that's sort of the upside gospel. The upside kingdom is first die to live. The world says live and then die eventually and then think about what will happen. No, no. As we die to Christ, we begin to live. As we deny ourselves, we become disciple makers. You know, just to repeat what Angus said, you know, he says, I'm just one beggar, hungry beggar, showing another beggar where to find bread. You don't need all the solutions. You don't need all the know-hows and know all the doctrines, because doctrines do not save people. It's an encounter with Christ. You know, like in John 3:16, so many times, you know, for God so loved the world. But even when Nicodemus crept up to Jesus in the middle of the night, he said, what must I do to be able to see the kingdom of God? He is a learned guy. And he still couldn't see, because the gospel is simple. The gospel is powerful. The gospel changes people's lives. Now let's read here in 1 Peter 1 verse 6 to 7. It says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than that gold that perishes through it, is, though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, the amazing thing is that the gospel is growing the fastest what in the areas we call the global south. It's not in North America. It's not in Europe. Europe has become the dark continent. You know, and why is that? Because we've almost taken a religious view on the gospel. But in many areas where people are desperate, in the Middle East, if you go to people there, most of them had a divine encounter with Jesus himself, either in a dream or through Jesus appearing to them. You know, I remember this one lady who was an imam, and she shared with us how she had a dream of Jesus walking to her and giving her a glass of water with a golden cross in that glass. And amazing, they never talk about the hands of Christ. They never talk about the feet of Christ. They always talk about the man with a white robe that has fire in his eyes. You know, if we've met that man from Galilee, our lives begin to change. But then we also deny ourselves because, hey, there's a cost to discipleship. There's a cost to be a laborer. Laboring is hard work. It's not just easy, you know. And we have to deny the things of the world. Hey, because there's a lot of things we can keep ourselves busy with. Yeah, I was talking to an older guy the other day, and he said, no, he's just working for his retirement plan. I said, yes, I'm also working for my retirement plan. It's out of this world, but I will not retire here. Because, hey, while we're living here, we are passionate for the kingdom of God. We are passionate for the things of God. We are passionate to share that. And so what begins to happen, our faith will be tested sometimes. And sometimes persecution should be part of that gospel and is part of that gospel. You know, most of the church today are being persecuted for their faith. You know, I've been in Iran. I've been in many countries where there's such a genuineness and a purity of the church. And that church is growing. I remember being in this one place where the lady told me, because she was speaking about a pastor that was in jail. And by the way, your theology school is 3 years in jail. You know, you're not really a pastor if you haven't been in jail for 3 years. And so she said, well, her pastor was in jail and she had to like manage a lot of stuff in the church. And it's all secretive. They can't meet in big groups like the church in the West. And I said to her, sure, you must be very sort of tense and anxious about that. And she says, no, I'm not tense, because our pastor started to share a diluted gospel, a gospel just full of grace, but no repentance, no fullness of life. No, hey, there's a cost involved. And I was thinking like, wow. I remember also meeting a guy in Egypt, and the guy said, hey, please don't bring the gospel of the West. It is too easy. There's no cost involved. We tell people about the benefits of the gospel, but not about the cost of the gospel. And Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. You can know that you're preaching the right gospel when there are some people that don't like what you are saying, because they're going to be offended. Because, hey, the self, we want to survive. We want to preserve the self. So our faith will be tested. You know, they have this picture sometimes. They say, what happens if you take an orange and you squeeze that orange? Well, you're not going to get apple juice. You're going to get orange juice. The question is, if we squeeze the Christian, do we see Christ, or do we see things of the world? And sometimes if we preach a watered-down gospel, what begins to happen, we set people up for offense. We set people up for the wrong expectation, because, hey, I just signed up to know Jesus because of the benefits of the promised land. But you know what? In the Old Testament, God said to Moses, he didn't say like, hey, talk to the Israelites about the promised land. He said, no, bring them to this mountain so that they can worship me here. That was God's deliverance. And the picture of the Old Testament is the picture of salvation. And so it's about meeting God. It's about, like Moses said, Lord, your presence is my exceedingly great reward. It's not about the benefits. The benefits are great, and it's out of this world. It's eternal life. But remember, there's a cost. And so if we don't tell people that they should be disciple makers, we lose the heart of the gospel. Hey, come and die. What a message. Not come and get prosperity, or come and just be gracious. No, there's a lot of grace, because we're saved by grace through faith. But hey, it's going to be challenging. Listen to what it says about Job in Job 8, 1 verse 8 to 11. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." You know, we looked at Job, we can look at Stephen, we can look at Paul. You know, the moment when Paul gets on the Damascus Road, you know, and Ananias comes to him and the Lord says, you're going to suffer great things for me. You know, it's part of the church in the East and the Middle East is persecution. Does it mean, hey, that the church in the West must just now say, yes, yes, Lord, persecute me? No, our persecution may be a bit different. It may be rejection. It may be a liberal agenda that is pushed on us. But let's make sure that we do things because we want to glorify God. You know, when I stand before Jesus one day, I want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Not, well, what have you done? You know, well done, good and faithful servant. So let's be faithful to the gospel. And sometimes that testimony of yours is going to be birthed out of suffering, birthed out of being real. I said it in the previous session. Let's be real. Let's be authentic. Let's not be PR agents for Jesus trying to tell everybody, hey, this is so amazing. No, Christianity is tough, but it's so rewarding. Remember what the definition of faith is. It's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You know, without faith, it is impossible to please God because he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God rewards us. But what is that reward? It's not always earthly things. It's the presence of God. It's the fact that you and I can be an ambassador. He gives you a position and an authority before him. If I'm an ambassador to a country, do you know what happens? When I say, my country makes war with your country, my word has got so much authority, so much influence. Why? Because I represent my country. I represent the kingdom of heaven. And you too. If you're a Christian, you are a citizen of heaven. You're not a South African or a Malawian or a German citizen first. First, as a Christian, you're not a doctor or a housewife. First, we're a Christian. Our vocation and what we do is just the platform God has given us to live out the gospel of Christ. I'm just a pilgrim. I'm just passing through. I'm a sojourner. I'm on my way. Yeah. And when you and I live and we don't live with our roots here, we live with the eternal mindset, it becomes so much easier. Then whatever suffering happens in our lives right here, hey, it's nothing compared to the glory of God. It's nothing compared to the reward we will get because you're going to be rewarded for what God has done in your life and what he also is going to require from you. So let's be diligent. Let's be faithful and seeking the truth. Let's live out into that space of a boldness because you've got one chance. And that chance is about obedience, you know? And so part of suffering is you're going to learn obedience. You know, I don't know. Sometimes I've prayed for things and then there's just no answer. It's just like I feel like God is silent. But God can only take you as far as your last step of obedience. What did he tell you? Go and minister to that person. Pray for that person. Go lay hands on the sick. Who will heal? Jesus always heals. Who must lay the hands? You and I. I had some people saying, no, I've never seen the dead rise. But I said, have you ever prayed for somebody that is dead? How will you ever see somebody raised from the dead if you don't pray for a dead corpse? You know, Smith Wigglesworth said it. You know, they asked him one day, said, oh, Mr. Wigglesworth, it's so amazing. You've seen so many people raised from the dead. What's the keys? What's the things we can learn? He said, well, if you have prayed for so many dead corpses like I did, at least some of them must rise from the dead. And I think he saw 53 people raised from the dead. But he prayed for the dead. He prayed for the sick. He prayed. And whose job is the healing and the resurrection? Christ. Yeah. If it's a failure, hey, it's our problem. If it's a success, hey, it's his problem. It's from God and it's for God. But hey, sometimes our biggest challenge, and this is where God will allow us sometimes to go through suffering, is, especially in the West, is the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. We become unbelieving believers. And that's the question. What do you believe? What do I believe? What is this faith costing us? You know, if your faith doesn't cost you something, it's not really worth anything. But that's why it's more precious than gold. That's what that scripture says. Let our faith, even when it's tested, hey, the gospel is true. The gospel is alive. The gospel still has the same effect. And I love what Reinhard Bonnke says. If you preach the original gospel, you'll get the original results of that gospel. Yeah, God will do it. But he's waiting for somebody to preach that gospel. He's waiting for somebody to share it. And, you know, you're going to walk into that job place. You're going to walk into that family, sit around that table, and then you have an opportunity. Yes, will you be afraid? Yeah. Yes. What is the fear of man? Yeah, it's going to be there. But we have to choose either the fear of God or the fear of man in our lives. We cannot have both at the same time. You know, if you're going to say yes to the fear of man and always listen to the opinion of man, you're going to get into trouble. I'm going to get into trouble. But when we fear God, we know there's going to be a day when we stand before him. And yes, sometimes we are going to be rejected. Sometimes we are going to be persecuted. But hey, like Paul says, it's just glorious. It's just so amazing. It's a privilege to suffer for Christ. It's a privilege to share the gospel. It's a privilege to be called to be an ambassador for Jesus. And so that is the challenge. Will we be real ambassadors? Will we represent him well? Will we represent him and represent the gospel well? Listen to this key passage that we're going to read together in Acts. It says, "Now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their feet at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit," this is Stephen, "grazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against him.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep, and Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison."
Take 10 minutes to reflect on and discuss this session's key Bible passage together with others in your class. If you are watching on your own, take a few minutes to reflect on the key Bible passage by yourself.
The Bible says Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. When Stephen sees this vision, Jesus is standing. Because especially for the martyrs, those who suffer for the sake of the gospel, they receive, I believe, a standing ovation from God. Because Jesus said, "Come," you know, and even in that moment of death, because you can't threaten a Christian with death. You know, we can't die. Our bodies can die, but spiritually we know we're going to live for eternity. So let's live in this world for eternity. Let's live for the glory of God. Don't be threatened by death. Hey, if somebody threatens you with death, what's that to the Christian? You know, and so, yeah, we see also Saul, because Stephen's life became a seed for Saul. I really believe that, because here was Saul, and they laid his clothes at Saul's feet. And then Saul got angry, but eventually Saul turned to Christ and became Paul. You know, because sometimes we're going to sow seed, and even that can mean for some people their lives. You know, that's so amazing. Let the seed of the martyrs, let the seed of our lives. So, yes, sometimes with evangelism, you're going to sow a lot of seed. And sometimes you're going to reap. And the sower and the reaper receives the same reward. You know, don't be discouraged when people at the beginning don't just jump up and say, "Yes, yes, what must I do to be saved?" Because sometimes for a long time, you know, seeds are sown. I remember one story when we were ministering and we had a soul-winning society on campus. That's what we called it. So every lunch, we would just pray together and say, "Lord, who do you want to minister to?" And two by two, we'll go out. Because never go alone. Go two by two, because there you can agree. And so we were standing there. It's a big area, eating area called the Nielsi. And as we're looking down, you know, because we felt there's specifically somebody with a red jacket on we need to pray for. That's all we felt God was saying. And so in came this young man, and he ran and he came to stand right next to us, because the Nielsi was overlooking this big eating area at the bottom on the ground floor. And this guy was sort of out of his breath. And then he looked at us and I looked at him, and the words came to mind is, stop running. And I just said that to him, stop running. And then he just shook his head. He says, please don't tell me that you're Christians. And I said, like, yeah, we are. And then he told us a story. He said, well, his grandmother phoned him that morning and said to him, grandson, I've been praying for you for the gospel and you're running away from God. But I challenge you today, run, run wherever you want to. The Lord told me that he's going to send two of his servants to you today, and they're going to share the gospel with you. And their first words to you will be, stop running. And he just ran to go and get food so they can get out of there and hide himself away from everything else. You know, and that's so amazing because God had an appointment with that guy. And we just happened to be there. We just happened to be obedient in that small thing. So that is the challenge, but also the thing I want to pray for us, that we will really, really connect with God and the fullness of God. So let me pray that God will also give you that boldness. So, Father, I want to thank you for everyone that's listening. Lord, there's no seed too tough, no hardness too tough. Lord, and I pray especially that every suffering, every bad thing that has happened to us will become part of our testimony so that Christ may be manifest. Lord, that Christ-likeness can come up, Lord, and we can have boldness to share our strengths and our weaknesses. Lord, give us that boldness as the church, like Stephen had, like Paul had, Lord, to say, I saw the Lord. Thank you for that boldness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take 15 minutes to reflect on and discuss the following points together with others in your class. If you are watching on your own, take a few minutes to reflect on the points by yourself. You can find the discussion points in your Bible school handbook. Look out for the Living the Word sections in each session.